Okay, so Marsha, we're going to start with your master tracker. Okay, so this is where we're going to start with everybody. And I just want to explain what we have put together here on your master tracker is just columns where you can just record everything. And this is a great way, anytime you get any labs done that are the blood chemistry ones, that you just go in and you jot them into this form. And then you have this running, ongoing for years and years and years look. Marsha put hers all the way back to 2014, which is awesome because we can then see, we can see the trends. Got it? So, but the, here's the cool part. We're going to educate you along here. And some of our practitioners actually like to use this before they use the other one because it's just real simple at a glance to kind of get a sense of what kind of things are going on. So over to the side, it says possible interpretation. This doesn't mean this is what's going on for you, but what it means is that possibly if, you know, some of these numbers are high, let me go to the beginning because I think I was down on the thyroid section and let me move this over. Okay, why is this not moving? There we go. All right, so we're at the top and the first one is glucose. So, you know, clearly on the glucose one, right, if it's high, it could be diabetes, insulin resistance, but also a thiamine, vitamin B1 deficiency, stress or liver distress, right? So it's not necessarily that you're eating M&Ms that causes glucose to go high. There could be other things and other factors that contribute, especially liver stagnation or liver congestion can lead to that because of the balance and the interaction with glycogen storage and release with the glucose. If it's low, we just call it hypoglycemia, or it could be low in hypoadrenal. When the adrenal function is low, we may see hypoglycemic stuff going on. So it's just, these are the things, these are not diagnoses. This is not what's actually going on for you, but this is giving you a sense of some of the possibilities of what might be going on for you if these things are high or low. What I usually recommend to people when they're analyzing this for themselves is to go through, and any of yours that have yellow or orange, is to go over to this side and take a highlighter and highlight it. So in here, I'm going to go here. Where's blood urea nitrogen and hers is low. I'm going to say in the program, you can do it or you can do it by printing it. So if I go to here, hers is low and I'm clicking on the box next to low, next to blood urea nitrogen. And all I have to do is go to the top where it says fill color and pick yellow. Okay, and I just go through the whole thing that way. Here's another one that's yellow. And you could do this with your own, and you could do it if you print this out. It's a little harder to print it out because it's wide. Here's another one, sodium. Sodium is high. And we just make it yellow. And then potassium right below it is low. This is classic adrenal, by the way. Okay. And then we go down. There's some others that were yellow before, but are fine now. Okay, good. And then we go down to globulin. That's on the high side. Right. Yeah, high side. So we're going to just mark it high side. And here's what happens as you do this. It's almost like, it's one of those games where you're going, what are some of the themes, right? What are some of the themes that are going on? AG ratio is just the same as those, so I'm not going to even mark that. But alkaline phosphatase is low. Okay, so I'm just going to go here. And I'm going to explain to you in a moment. The yellow doesn't mean that there's a pathology going on. The yellow means you're out of the optimal range. And what we're targeting for is to be in optimal health, not average health, because we know what average health is, at least in the U.S., right? Average health means you're pretty darn messed up, okay? We don't want to be pretty darn messed up. We don't want to be normal by American medical standards. We want to be optimal, and that's what we're targeting for. So for Marsha so far, there are none that are orange. Orange is the equivalent of red, but red made it harder for us to read the boxes, so we made it orange. Plus, it's not quite as blaring. So we're just going to go through and see. So she's got another, whoops.
How do you know if it's high or low? I mean, you know, but how do I know?
You know because of the color. Oh, you know. Ah, okay. Good question. Sorry. Give me a second and I'm going to get this is a little bit on the high side. Okay. So here, over here, if it has orange or red, orange or yellow, and you want to know, here's the lab range and here's
okay.
The
I didn't see that. Okay.
So, yeah. Well, that's because it wasn't on the screen because I couldn't fit it all on the screen at the same time.
That's your lab range, not the medical.
Yeah. So lab range is the medical lab range. It might be a little different than what you did. Okay. We set this up according to LabCorp. Which is what Direct Labs used to use all the time. So we set this up according to that a few years back, but it's pretty close, right? This is most likely very similar, the low and the high, minimum, maximum on the lab range to what's on the lab report that you got. And if it's in this range, then they're fine. They won't flag it as high or low, right? But if it's outside that range, they will. But you can see, like even for TSH, right, their range might be 0.3 to 5.7. And I think they've narrowed that down a bit. It might be 4.5 now. Either way, that's something that, because this is a spreadsheet we've given everybody, it's harder to go back and change it. We're working on getting an app so that people can put this in so that, you know, we can change the ranges and your app will automatically get updated. But that's not there yet. But you see how here your TSH was 5.72, which was above the lab range, and it got flagged. I would have flagged this as red too. I mean, and honestly, this is like, you can do this in your own sheet. We're going to just change your sheet. See how now another one became orange when I changed it, mm-hmm. right? Ideally 1 to 3 or 0.8 to 3 or something like that. So here you're slightly above the ideal range, right? And more they're saying now the ideal range is like 2.5. But, you know, it's grasping, but it's giving us a general trend. So if we go over here, so far you don't have any oranges here. So you've made improvements, which is good. Thyroid stimulating, that's here. So you're a little on the high side. And then we scroll down. So your reverse T3, I'm not convinced that that's orange, because really what's true of reverse T3, it's a ratio. And I'm just going to open up a tab and I'm going to look up RT3T3 ratio. If you just go that, you're going to see this Stop the Thyroid Madness, and they have a calculator. So we're going to take your number, which was your T3, free T3 is 3, and I want to make sure I get the right 3 picograms per deciliter. So I'm going to put that into this calculator. What happened to it? There it is. So I'm going to put 3 picograms per deciliter. See it right there. And then your reverse T3 was 16. Nanograms per deciliter. Let's just make sure it works right. Sometimes you have to play with the way it's recorded. So 16, and then we put it here. And you guys can all do this. And then I say get ratio. And the ratio is 0.2. So you're right there on the cusp of it being okay. Like it should be 0.2 or 20, depending on the scale that your lab uses. So you're actually, your reverse T3 is perfect. It's fine. Okay. So I'm not concerned about your reverse T3. So if I go back here and I do this, that's why it's showing up. And let me just give you an idea. When we put these in, because some of the labs use this different scale, like the higher scale, if it's off by a series of 100, I'm just going to change this to 160. And there it's green. I'm going to change this to 193. And I wish the labs would be consistent, but they're not. So some of them reported on the higher scale that's off by a factor of 100. But if you see that and you go, wow, I'm 16 and I should be 350, it's probably not that you're that low. Just add a zero to your number, which is what I did, and you're fine. Okay? And then your thyroglobulin antibodies. So your antibodies are off. In the reality of the labs, 0 to 1 is off for thyroglobulin. So you're off for sure with that. But they allow it to go up to 34. So yours is 21, right? But here's the thing I want to say to you, because I don't see any numbers that were super high here, right? I don't see that you had 350 or anything. So people who have a full-blown Hashimoto's would have numbers in the 300s, 600s, thousands. Yours haven't ever been that high unless you had it that high earlier on and you worked on yourself to get it better. So when I look at this, I look at it, yeah, there's an autoimmune process going on with your thyroid, but it's not a major, major, and it's not getting worse. It's staying in that range. So it says, yes, your body is attacking itself. And yes, this is a warning sign that we want to get it stabilized. But here's the thing, Marcia. I hate labels, right? So I don't want you ever to say I have Hashimoto's. Okay? I have a slight imbalance with my thyroid where my immune system's attacking my thyroid, but it's stable. Okay? So I wouldn't call this Hashimoto's. And the reason I point this out, Marcia and everybody else, is when we label ourselves, because that's what medicine does, right? It asks us our symptoms and it puts us in a box. Your Hashimoto's, your irritable bowel, your inflammatory bowel disease, and they give you a diagnosis. And then guess what? As humans, when we're labeled something, we live into that diagnosis. We live into that label. So I would say you do not have Hashimoto's. In fact, it's not diagnosable as Hashimoto's in medical realm until it's much higher. Okay? So I would just say, yeah, there's an autoimmune process going on. Yes, we're working on it. It's getting better, and let's not use the label. Does that make sense, Marcia?
Yes.
Anybody else? Yeah? Okay, good. So I'm going to just mark this. Oops. And this one was red. And the reason I'm going through the tedious process, I'm not going to do this on all of them, of marking them this way, is to show you how you can actually just go through without even knowing anything or not thinking anything. You can look at, and we don't have that number now. Okay. So that was I just realized this. That was back in 2017, right? Since then, you've done Sweet Spot. You've gotten your blood sugars way balanced and so many other improvements. So write this down in terms of what and when. I would like to work on some gut stuff, because that's what's showing up here, and to work on some adrenal stuff and some of the other stuff we'll talk about in our private session, and have you redo your labs at the end of the year and make sure that you do your antibodies. And I'll tell you, we'll talk about that on our call as to what exactly you should be running. Okay? So I want to get some stuff in place and then see where you're at then. Okay. So as of 2017, my thyroid was being attacked, but I've done a lot of stuff to improve that. Okay. Get the difference psychologically and subconsciously. We really have to learn how to talk to ourselves in ways that empower our inner healer rather than our inner self-saboteur. And we all have those inner self-saboteurs. Okay. And again, the same thing, the full CBC is what I'd want you to get done. Again, I'm surprised they didn't run a CBC. Okay. Because again, this is common.
She did run a CBC.
Yeah, but I don't see it listed in here. 529, 18.
Yeah, and I think she did the antibodies also.
Let's see.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure Myrto did run the CBC.
So it didn't get put in here. Did you do your lab, your thing, or did somebody else do that for you?
Somebody did it. I think Susan did it for me.
Mm-hmm. Susan, do you remember that?
I'm just looking in the blood chem software report, which is the part that I did.
Okay.
Let me see if that's in there.
All right. Well, let's see. Here's her blood chem software so we could see what was put in here. And this one goes back and shows all the previous ones as well. Okay. So here we go. So this was today's, oops, that's not it. Here we go. Okay. Let's see. So we have written for.
Yeah, CBC is in the report.
It's there. So this needs to be moved into. Oh, wait, maybe it was put in the wrong columns. 3.9, 12.5, 38. Let's see. We may just be able to just move them over. 3.9, 12.5, 38. Okay. Oops. Let me just do that again. Let me undo that. I'm just going to copy. Okay, good. Perfect. So the blood chem software will be fine. Then I'm just going to get rid of these. I'll clear them. All right. And then all of these. So all of these actually are for. Could you look in there, Susan, to see if the the antibodies were done? They just might have been put in the wrong column.
Yeah, I'll have a look. The dog. I'm muting myself now because the dog's going to bark.
Okay, thank you, Susan. All right.
When you say retest at the end of the year, do you mean like December or when I'm done with Sweet Spot?
No, I mean, I think at the end of the year, meaning December, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was,
Oh, wait.
I mean, year soon, sorry.
So, yeah, okay, so we're in the wrong place. All right, we'll move them later, but I'm just going to count that that's this time's. Yeah, this is the ones I wanted to move. And we'll finish this, because I want to give you guys an idea of how going through and taking the 5 or 10 minutes it takes to just go through and mark these things will give you a sense of an overall, oh, it looks like my gut's out of balance, because there's like 5 things that talk about hypochlorhydria. So this is a yellow here, which is, that's high on the B12. It's interesting because a lot of people run the serum B12 and use that as the be all and the end all. And your serum B12 was actually on the high side, but your functional markers for B12 are on the low side. And it'll be saying that in the blood chem report, that that's a common finding, that there's a lot of B12 in the blood, but it ain't getting into the tissues, right? It's not activated. And you have the MTHFRs and the MTRRs and that sort of stuff in your genetics too. So we have that. And then we have our 63 here, which is a little on the high side. And we'll go back through this in a minute and talk about what these things might mean. And then hemoglobin A1C, which has improved, but is still a little on the high side, but it's definitely improved. So, all right, let's see, homocysteine, we don't have that. Okay, so we'll make a list of what all we want you to get in December. And so here's what I want you to see, is that we want to see from a lay person's perspective, right? You're just looking at this and going, liver dysfunction or low protein diet. So it could be when the protein indicators are low, not enough protein, which you want to look at your protein intake via your like chronometer, which is what I've been recommending. Why is both of these done? Sorry. I shouldn't have done both of these. Creatinine is low, not high. So you've got a number of things that indicate low protein. So when we think about low protein, we think, oh, lack of stomach acid, not absorbing your protein well, not taking in enough protein. That was where you would look at chronometer, right? Malabsorption, other kinds of malabsorption. It could be liver dysfunction. So some sort of malabsorption and not getting that in. here's a couple we're looking at. Oh, these two adrenal hypertension. We know that you've been dealing with hypertension, right? So the high sodium and low potassium, but could your hypertension be caused by cortisol levels? And that's where we would correlate this with other lab findings, looking at your Dutch test or looking at a adrenal stress test. But as you go through, I want you to note for yourself, what are some of the things, just make a list of these things that are showing up, and we'll see how many times they show up. And is this something we need to be concerned about and having you focus on at this point? Again, we have hypochlorhydria, we have liver. So we want to be looking at your liver and your gut function right here to make sure that everything's okay, and your adrenals, your stress levels. The alkaline phosphatase, it could be estrogen dominance, and we can confirm that if we did a Dutch test. But I mostly see this as zinc or B6 deficiency, again, the malabsorption, and hypothyroid or adrenal. So it's all tying together, right? All the different markers that are not in optimal range are tying together. And again, I want to remind you, Marcia, and everybody as you're going through, yellow means you're out of optimal range. Yellow means we're going to be proactive and get you back in optimal range. It doesn't mean there's already a potential disease process going on. Whereas if it's orange, there could be a potential, you know, process, pathological process going on. So overall, and then the thyroid, right? We don't see an issue with thyroid conversion or any of that stuff. So it's basically there's some autoimmune. And guess what? Autoimmune thyroid is very commonly associated with. Number one, leaky gut, right? So it's tying in really nicely with the other findings of the leaky gut. And so working on your gut is going to be an important next step. And I think Susan's already pointed that out to you. I saw that in her report, that's an important piece to work on. But also, like other kinds of toxic overload, which we keep seeing liver a little bit, is there heavy metal exposure? Is there mold exposure, right? So all of these things need to be looked at. But overall, and then the B12. So here's the interesting thing. Your serum B12 was highish, but your MCV, mean corpuscular volume, which is the size of your blood cells, is a little bit large, which could indicate a B12 deficiency, a folate deficiency, sometimes B6 or vitamin C, but mostly B12 or folate. Well, when we think about your genes, well, you're prone to that. So what do we do about it? Okay, so I'm going to go back up here, and then I'm just going to go from the top so everybody understands. Is that helpful to see how to mark them?
Yes.
Is that helpful to other people? Because it gives you an idea before we even start. So as we're going through these, mark your own. If you've got it printed, take out your highlighter. If not, just do this within your master tracker. And then when I get there, I'll see the marks, and we'll be able to put together a pattern. So what we see overall, Marcia, here is the pattern. Some of you may only have one number in here. You may only have the most recent one in here. You are welcome, if you have previous labs, to go back and put them in so that there can be a comparison. And it doesn't have to be in this order, which is nice to have it in the right order, but you don't worry about it, and we can always move it for you. If you don't know how, if you're not like real savvy with spreadsheets, just put them in and we'll sort through it, because it would be good to see some previous ones. And I know several of you have. So your blood sugar, your fasting is looking good here, and your hemoglobin A1C we saw was like a 5.3. So it's saying your average blood glucose is probably a little over 100. Right? So there's times when you're going up and not. But this is back in May, right? So that hemoglobin A1C may be perfectly fine right now. It may be continuing to trend down because you've been getting some really nice early morning readings. You said 73, I think you mentioned the other day that you were getting. So again, you're going to do this again, and we're going to compare. The blood urea nitrogen and the creatinine, those we pointed out from the other side, are really related to protein. They are kidney markers. So if yours are high, it may indicate that there's an issue with kidney infiltration. When they're low, it usually indicates not as much protein is getting into your cells, into your system as might be needed. And then the sodium and potassium, you know, adrenal, right? If you're, and you know that you tend to be, you tend to get a little stressed, let's just say, right? And so the stress is something I know Susan's been working with you on, you know, with the breathing and all that. But the stress is affecting your sodium potassium. And I have a feeling that might be at the heart of the blood pressure, you know, not stabilizing the way we think it should. Your total protein is good. So this isn't as, I've seen a lot of these that are way more serious than this. It's just indicating a subtle imbalance that most medical doctors, most labs are not going to pick up. But we're not looking for pathology. We're looking for subtle imbalances to get you to your optimal health. Mm. Right? So we talked about those. And the alkaline phosphatase. So I want to ask you, do you take zinc? And I could look. Supplements?
No, I'm not taking anything now. I was talking to Susan yesterday because I burp up my vitamins, and then I'm burping almost all day. Okay. I do eat pumpkin seeds, but yeah.
But you still have to absorb them from there. So have you tried liquid zinc, ionic zinc?
No, I guess that's my next step.
That's your next step. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's several brands. I would be careful about the trace minerals one. It's really potent, and a lot of people do get a little nauseous from that. But the Good State, Thorne has one. Premier Research Labs has one. Yeah. And by the ones that do the, what's the one that does the lab, the testing kit? Body Bio. So those all have them. And for some people, you get to play around with the different ones and see which ones have the best effect. But an ionic zinc, a liquid zinc, will work far better than any other kind of zinc. And the same thing with if you're burping up a lot of your vitamins and you have low stomach acid, because stomach acid is required for mineral absorption. We want to get as much in the liquid ionic state as possible, sublinguals, liposomals, you know, the most easy to absorb forms. And this goes for everybody, right? Some people say, I'm not taking anything except a pill. Great. Okay. Then I'll work with you there, right? But we may have to take much higher doses. We may have to really play with the timing of it. We may want to, you know, be taking some apple cider vinegar with them to create a more acidic environment, doing HCL and other things. But I think if you're willing to try the liquids, I think you're going to go, it's going to be really beneficial. And you know, all your lipid numbers look really good. Your triglycerides used to be up here at 157, and now they're at 86, which is awesome, like major stuff. So even if you're not externally seeing, like in terms of the weight, the results that you want with all the work you're doing with your blood sugar, it's working, honey. It's, you know, it's keeping your numbers really, really good, right? So a lot of times, you know, for whatever reasons, there's all sorts of things that go into each unique biochemistry, the early stresses in your life, the genetics, the whatever, you know, exposures, etc. But the inside is getting the results. And sometimes, unfortunately, the inside shows before the outside. And in some people, the outside shows before the inside. And we don't have a magic wand or a, you know, magic mirror to predict which way you're going to go. But I would say, wow, you've really done a great job here. Okay. All right. So, and you know, your thyroid numbers, when they're up and down like this, you see how your TSH, I know you're on Nature Throid right now, right?
No, I'm actually on, I'm on.
I like it though. No.
I'm on. No.
What is it?
I'm on 2.5 micrograms of liothyronine and 13 micrograms of levothyroxine.
Okay.
And that's only for the last like 2 months.
Okay. And what were you on before that when this test was taken?
Nothing.
Oh. Oh. I mean, this is pretty good for nothing. Cool. So,
And I don't think these are doing anything for me so far.
I'm not convinced. Well, so here I'd like to see what these numbers are. when you're right there, you're right at the edge of the optimal range for the T3. And the T4 is there too. So I'm seeing that these numbers are pretty good. And one of the things we can do is we can put these numbers, for those of you who are more sophisticated want to do this, I'm going to just write these numbers down, 3.27. And 3. There's another sheet right after your lab. It's called TS Diagrammer Tool. And it may seem a little wacky, but it gives us an idea of the balance, especially if you're on meds, you know, and you're on separate, you're on T3 and T4 separately. So we look here and we look at your TSH and we just find a, kind of find down here the range where it falls in. And yours is 3.27. So that would fall here. So I'm going to write 3.27. And then I'm going to look at T4, which is 1.18, which goes right here, 1.18. And then T3 is 3, which is right, a little bit lower. Okay, so we're trying to get them as close to lined up as possible. And see, your T4 and T3 are really close, right? They're very close.
Well, T3. Oh, why did you put it in that cell? I don't see where
down here. See
where I see. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just, again, this one's done on the other scale.
I was looking above it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the below. So the 1.18 is here. The 3.0 is here. So you're on the high end of both of those. They're very close. So I'm not concerned about your conversion back then when you weren't on anything. So your conversion was pretty darn good, right? But your pituitary was having to work super hard to get your thyroid to do what it was doing, right? So the thyroid was a little sluggish in responding, which is why they put you on this T3, T4. You don't know that it's doing any good. We can get those numbers done. And we may want to get those numbers done sooner rather than later, at least just the complete thyroid panel, rather than waiting through December, because I don't want you to be on a medication that's not doing you any good that might be throwing you into an imbalance. Make sense? So what we want to look at is why, right? We're always after why. Why is the thyroid sluggish in response to the pituitary stimulation? Because with these numbers, we should be able to get the pituitary should be right around, you know, 1.5. Right? That would be all it would need to be working. It doesn't have to be working so hard. So what I would be looking at is why. Is there an iodine deficiency? Well, is there autoimmunity? Well, we already found there are antibodies, right? So the honest really is really we want to get this under control by looking at those numbers, the antibodies and the gut and all the other things we're going to work on. Here's the thing here. I'd like you to get the thyroid panel ASAP, okay? And you should be able to do that quickly. I want to see what the numbers are now that you're on this. How long have you been on that? 2 months?
Yeah.
Me, that's about the outer limit of what I would want you to be on a medication before testing to see if it's working or a hormone replacement. Because otherwise you can go too long and you can actually start suppressing your own thyroid production. We don't want that. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would get that thyroid panel done, including the antibodies. You don't have to.
Can I do that through you?
Reverse T3. Yeah, you can do it through the your labs online. If you go to runmylabs.com, mm-hmm. You'll see my thyroid panel in there. Okay. You don't need the reverse T3. It's an extra expense. I don't see it as an issue. So just run, you know, the full, what I list is the complete thyroid.
Can you do me a favor? Because I have to go to another meeting. I want to make sure that I don't screw anything up here. So take me off as co-host.
Oh, I see what you mean. You don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just thought of that.
And Susan, since you're on here, could you take notes of what I'm, you know, I know Marcia's taking notes and she's good at it, but it would be great if you could take, I was telling them earlier, I just cannot take notes and talk at the same time. I lose my train of thought. Okay, so more withdraw co-host permission. There we go. Cool. All right. Cool. All All right. So complete thyroid, do it ASAP. Let's see. Don't change your medication at all. Don't stop anything that you're currently doing.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, please.
Free T3, free T4, TPO, TGA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what else?
TSH, total T4. So I want to see what that's doing to the totals. So free TSH, total T4, free T3, free T4, and the antibodies, the TPO and TIA, TAA.
Okay.
Yeah, and there should be a panel that has those in it.
Okay, and then do you want her to not take her thyroid medication the morning that she goes to have her blood drawn?
That's a good question.
Usually you don't. You fast and you don't take your morning medication. Marcia, when do you normally take your thyroid medication?
When I remember, I take it in the morning, first thing on an empty stomach.
Okay, so when you remember, so you're not taking it necessarily every day?
Pretty much every day, but not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Okay, got it. Okay. Yeah. I want to see both.
Your results are more accurate if you're fasting when you have your thyroid labs drawn.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. Let's do it. Let's do it the typical way. Fast without fasting and no medication the morning you take it. Ideal, in an ideal world where we could run as many tests as we could and compare, I'd have you do both. I'd have you do one day without and then one day with and just compare. Because the half-life of the medication, you know, what Susan's pointing out, it's the half-life. You'd be measuring not your body, but you'd be measuring the medication in your system. Right? Which is a good thing to want to know, too, is how high does it, how low does the TSH go right after? How high does the T4, T3 go right after? But let's just do it that way. Let's just do the one day of fasting and see if it's doing you any good. Or what it's doing for you. My concern is that it shoots your numbers up too high. T3 though, T3 half-life is so small. That would give me an idea of whether that the medication is suppressing your thyroid production. See, T3 has a 12-hour half-life. T4 has a 2 or 3 day half-life. So give us an idea for that.
I didn't know T4 lasted that long.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it peters out, but, you know, yeah, I think it's 2 days or 3 days. I have to look it up to be exact sure, but it's much longer, much, much longer. Yeah, that's why T3 sometimes, you know, you really, to get good results, have to take it twice a day rather than the one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So hopefully I'm not losing anybody here. And I'm going to go back here. So we talked about what to do with your thyroid. And we're going to work on your gut. The white blood cell count, I see it low a lot of the time in acute infections and also autoimmune processes. And it's on the border of being below the optimal. It's certainly within the lab range. That's something to keep an eye on. Let's see what happens the next time you do it.
You said autoimmune and what else?
Chronic infections.
Oh, chronic infections.
And so when I see a low or a high white blood cell out of optimal range, I want to look at the differentials, which are down below. What we see here is that your hemoglobin is a little on the low side. It was before. So hemoglobin on the low side could be iron. It could be the B12. So I'm going to scroll up to see, did they test your iron? Serum iron. Iron is fine. Okay. So it's more likely a B12 folate deficiency.
And also I had like very high ferritin. I don't know if that's.
You did. Is it in here?
It was in the Dutch test. They flagged it.
Okay. So yeah, ferritin and iron are two that I like to get together in the blood tests. And that's what most doctors either do one or the other. So that gives us an idea. If you've got normal or healthy level of iron and high ferritin means there's something broken in the mechanism that is not really, well, let me just say this. Let me go the other way. If you have very low iron in the serum and high ferritin, it says to me there's something broken in the mechanism that the ferritin isn't being mobilized into the blood and turned into serum iron. If you've got high iron and low ferritin, the same thing. There's something wrong in that mechanism. When it's a normal, healthy level of iron and high ferritin, then I'm concerned that we want to look at, say, something like hemochromatosis, right? And we'll look at your genes to see if you have that genetic tendency towards it. And, you know, is there a liver inflammation? Is there some inflammation again? And liver is a big piece of it. So more than likely, because the number, how high was it? Was it in the 2?
176.
Okay. So that's in the normal range of high, right? So that's probably more related to liver dysfunction or inflammation. Whereas if it was 250 or 350, it would be the other. My family has that gene pool for hemochromatosis. I'm a heterozygous. My brother is homozygous. His ferritin levels get up into the 800s. His iron levels get up into the 2 and 300s. And he has to go in for periodic hematology to, you know, once a month he goes and has blood drawn to get that under control. You don't have that. It's really clear to me you don't have if you were 27 and had these numbers, I may say, well, it may just haven't manifested yet. But if it hasn't manifested by now, it's, you know, it's unlikely. It's more likely liver congestion, which we talked about earlier with some of the other markers, or something going on with inflammation, which we see in your CRP being high, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the CRP could be high because of the autoimmune stuff. But we also want to look at other stuff. And so the other test you may want to do, even though your lipid numbers are normal, just to rule it out, would be to look at the advanced lipid panel. Okay. I'd rather wait for that one till the end of the year because I want to do some stuff with you first. Okay, I want to address the inflammation in several ways before we decide whether that's necessary to do.
Okay, so that's the cardio IQ at the end of the year?
Yeah, the cardio IQ or something equivalent to it. The your lab test, Allen Hopkins lab has one. They just call it the advanced lipid panel.
Okay, I think that's the cardio IQ.
And it shows the buoyant versus the heavy LDLs and the different types of HDLs. And yep. All right. So when we're looking here, your mean corpuscular volume says your blood cells are big. Your iron is normal. So your iron isn't doing anything to it. So that to me says it's a folate or B12 issue, right? I'm going to look at your Dutch. We'll look at that on Wednesday when we do our private thing, but I want to see what your methylmalonic acid is. So that helps us to kind of figure which one it might be. And homocysteine is another thing you're going to need on the next test. Yeah. This RDW, for anybody that has this RDW elevated, that means that there's a lot of variability in the sizes of your red blood cells. So some of them might be small, some of them might be large. It's an indication that there is some sort of anemia going on, even if the hematocrit is normal. It just says that there's something fishy here, and yours is a little on the high side. It's better than it used to be. So that's good. So here's what I was saying before. When I said that your white blood cells were a little on the low side, whenever the white blood cells are a little on the low side or the high side, I'm looking at the distribution between them. This pattern has been here a long time, 65, 63, 22, 23. The lymphocytes will get elevated usually in a viral infection, the neutrophils in a bacterial infection. If we saw that it was normal, 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 and then there were abnormalities here, I would suspect an acute infection. Did you just get over this? Were you just exposed to that? But usually in acute, you'd see the white blood cells high versus low, and yours are slightly on the low side. So all this is saying to us is we got to be on the lookout for some sort of chronic bacterial infection because the neutrophils are high. If the lymphocytes were the one on the high side, I'd be saying a chronic viral type infection, you know, an EBV or, you know, one of the other kinds of low grade chronic viral things that we'd look for. And again, this is so slight, but again, we're looking functionally. We don't want it to get worse. Look, it's been about the same. So it maybe just something that's been involved in your dysfunctional, you know, some of the dysfunctional symptoms for a long, long time. It could be H. pylori. It could be like a Klebsiella or an E. coli overgrowth in your gut. Most likely it's in the gut. That's what I've found over the years.
I was tested for H. pylori at one point and it came out positive.
Okay. So that's something we need to talk about, what she did and what to do for it. And at what point do we want to do some sort of stool analysis? My feeling is that we work your gut for the next two and a half months, whatever, till the end of the year. Then we reevaluate. We get all these numbers done again. And then we decide, do we want to do a stool analysis now? Or will just the general stuff we're going to work on take care of it? You know, restoring your microbiome, et cetera. Make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm not into doing tests that aren't necessary all at once. And when you do too many tests at once, you get pretty darn confused as to what to do now when you find a lot of things out of balance. So I'm using this as a way to help us prioritize, right? So the thyroid, yes, immediate. Let's get that redone right away. End of the year, we're going to do this whole CBC, and I'll give you the exact ones. I want to make sure homocysteine and hemoglobin A1C and fasting insulin and CRP and all the things that we're finding abnormalities, ferritin, iron and ferritin, and we'll see where you're at and then decide if you need to do a stool test.
I did a lot of stool tests in May.
Good. We may not. Okay, great. So we're going to look at that, and you haven't done any specific protocols for that, or you have?
No, I'm not really doing anything, I don't think.
Perfect. So we can actually look at that and we can go by that.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll just put all that together when we meet on Wednesday. Okay. This is concerning, but it's been high for a long time, a long time. It's only one time you had it done that it was lower. And I mean, ideally I like to see this at 0.3, right? So you're a little bit higher than it needs to be, but I'd rather see this at 0.3. I like to see it below one. And we'll show you that in the blood chem software. Okay. So I think we talked about hemoglobin A1C, your ferritin 176, but look, it's come down. Definitely improving. So we'll get it tested again when we do the redo at the end of the year. Your D could use a little bit of oomph, like a little bit of oomph. So I would say, what are you taking now?
I'm taking a D2, K3. You know, and I sat outside all summer for, you know, 20 minutes naked every day to get food.
Good for you. Good for you. So let's retest that with your thyroid now.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see where it's at, because I don't want you going into the winter with it low.
Yeah.
And the higher it is with an autoimmunity, if you can get it between 75 or 80 and 100, that's going to really help with the repair. It's going to help with leaky gut repair, and it's going to help with all of the immune system stuff. So let's get that and the thyroid redone right away. And we'll figure out what the exact right amount is for you. It looks like it's come up a little bit since then, but not much. So you may need more. And then we'll also look at your, do you have VDRs and some of the other things in your genetics?
I do.
I wish I could remember, but I can't
keep
everybody's
yeah.
in my head. You do. Yeah. So you probably need a little bit more. Oh, you got a blood spot fatty acid then. And we'll look at that one. We'll look at that. Like, I like to see my graphs. We'll look at the real thing when we talk Wednesday. Okay. So that was looking at the master tracker, longer than I normally would spend here, but I wanted you guys to get a sense of how you can take and mark your stuff so that it's kind of clear when we go through. And when we go through it, we'll just go through what's abnormal and what some of the indicators are. And then we'll look at this report and show you how to read it. Any questions on that so far, Marcia?
No, thank you.
Okay. Any questions from anybody else about it? Did I lose you?
I'm here.
No, I'm just wondering if everybody else is okay. Yeah? All right. And this was going to, the more you see this, the easier it's going to be when I get to yours for you to go, oh, okay, I already thought that. Oh, yeah, I thought I had a zinc thing going on there. I thought I had maybe some inflammation based on that. And you'll be surprised at how much you'll learn just over the next couple hours. So this is the report. It should say patient report on it. There's also another report that's even longer. I think this is like, this is 43 pages, and I think the practitioner report is 65 pages. It's a really nice program, and they take optimal ranges. Their optimal ranges might be slightly different than the ones in my spreadsheet. They're really, really close. And they'll give you an analysis. So they give you a link. These links are actually, I guess they're not in mine, but they may be in the PDF format, clickable. I thought they were clickable, but maybe not. So you've got the introduction to it. Recommend you read it. Just get an idea of what this is about. The assessment piece, and then they break it down, like based on comparing markers, not just looking high, low for individual ones, but comparing them, what other indications there might be for nutrient imbalances and particular system imbalances. And then they show the results with highs and lows. And you know, Marsha's is a good one to do because she's got multiple ones in here. Okay. And Susan, thank you for running this. Read this page. You know, it's the whole idea of normal is not optimal, like we just talked about. We don't want to be normal. We want to be optimal. And this page tells you the different about the particular parts. So I'll just go through some of them. So what I like to do first is, well, we just did it in her blood chem, so we have a general idea, but I'm going to skip to the part that actually shows. Yeah, I like to skip to this part because it gives you an idea of which of your things are out of balance, high or low. And where we have the yellows and the reds, this has the scale. So the green is right in the middle, right? And then it, as it gets further away, it gets further and further and all the way down to orange and red. Whereas mine just gives you the absolute in the color. So we're looking here. She's in optimal. Her fasting insulin is more at the high end of optimal. So I want to redo that when we redo at the end of the year. Because I want to get that fasting insulin down around 3 if we can, right? When it's a little bit higher, your fasting insulin's higher. Remember that insulin is an anabolic hormone, which helps to store fat. So if you're having some difficulty with losing fat, it could be the slightly high insulin levels. BUN, we talked about. So see, it just gives you, I'm just showing you this, that you can just look at yours and get an idea of what's out of range, right? So globulin, and it will tell you for each of these items what they mean, and it compares them. This particular report shows your most recent one and your current one and compares them whether you've gone up or down. And then the next report, it's just different ways of making the same information look differently. It's like, okay, how many ways can we skin a cat? So it shows you what are the things on your report that are most out of range, right? Here's the optimal range. The thyroglobulin antibodies, the ferritin, and the TPO are your highest out of range numbers. These are on, you know, within the optimal range still. These are ideally right in the middle of the optimal range. And then some of these go below the optimal range, right? Or below the, on the low end of the optimal range, but they're not actually falling into the low, low area, right? So it just gives you a graphical look. And then this I like because it compares the latest 3. And it may actually, I think it goes to 5 if you have 5. It'll just keep comparing to see where you're going. So if we look here, glucose is in the normal range. Hemoglobin A1C is coming down. That's where we want it to go. Your fasting insulin, yeah, 5. You're doing great. Marsha, look where it used to be, 19, oh. Right? Woohoo! Awesome, right? The button where it used to be high, which suggests kidney stress, now it's on the low side, which more is an easier thing to manage, which is let's get your gut fixed. Mm. Same thing with the creatinine and the bun creatinine ratio. Your kidneys, they used to be on the low end of the filtration rate. Now you're really hefty right in the middle of the range. So that's good. So your kidneys are stronger now. The sodium, I wonder why that sodium. Oh, that's because they were in the wrong column, I guess. No? Huh. Interesting. But so no, the sodium numbers don't look like they made it in here. Huh. Okay. No, I saw them on the master tracker. So again, you're seeing, you know, where things were out of range, are they getting better? Cholesterol. Your cholesterol was 196. It's 178. Perfect, right? Triglycerides were 157, 86. So it just gives you a graphical, like, oh, I'm on the right track. Because sometimes we get frustrated because we're not making progress, right? And we get all like, but when we look at this, we go, wow, I've really come a long way. And that's why I like the way it gives you the reports in a lot of different ways. And so what it's still flagging is your antibodies, right? And that's what we're going to work on. Gut and antibodies. And guess what? They go hand in hand. And your CRP, right? And the CRP has come up since here. So we want to look for what is that? What is that that's going on? And that's the only reason I mentioned possibly doing the advanced lipid profile, because we want to see if that inflammation is somehow related to the blood vessels because of the blood pressure, right? You've got the blood pressure going on. And if you've got those buoyant, you've got more of the dense versus the buoyant LDLs, that could be affecting it, even though the LDL number is perfectly fine. So this is that. And then this is what I was trying to get to. If you really want to go deep, it lists all the stuff that's above or below optimal for you. It lists everything and it gives you a little explanation. I was just wondering why the triglycerides were there. 86, he likes them 75, so that's why he flagged that. But you're way better. But just gives you an idea, a really nice description of these things. It's, you know, fun reading on a, you know, when you want to go to sleep at night and you can't fall asleep, just pull this report out and start reading it and you'll go right to sleep. Okay. So I'm going to go back up to the top because I want to show everybody how this report's laid out. And again, when we get to each one, we'll just go right to the thing. So based on what's showing up here, no surprise, we already talked about that. Immune system, that's the antibodies, thyroid function, and GI function, right? These are the likely imbalances. Other things that are less likely, red blood cell, that was where we had the low red blood cells. Cardiovascular risk, just because, you know, he doesn't like the triglycerides, and the triglyceride HDL ratio was 1.2 rather than 1. Liver function, which we talked about, sex hormone, you didn't have a lot of sex hormones tested, so it's only 25%. And that's where we're going to look at the Dutch. And then, you know, the rest of these are, you know, not necessarily a problem, but look at this. Blood sugar regulation, low on your priority list. You've done a great job there. Yay. Right?
Yeah.
Yay. All right. And then
the adrenal function on this one looks good, but you were mentioning that the adrenals weren't good.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look to see why they flagged it up. Cause I looked at sodium and potassium. I'm not sure what else he was looking at. So he gives you why, like here are the markers we're looking at. So it may show that you have something looks fine, but you've only tested two of the seven markers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it tells you what all the biomarkers that are considered and it describes it. And these are things like I said, for late night reading, if you want to go deeper with it. I think if I were to go into the report, I could see which ones he's using for adrenal. I don't know. My feeling is there's adrenal because I know you and I'm taking that into account. Okay. Accessory systems. This is just, you know, looking at it from a nutrient evaluation and a toxicity evaluation and, you know, 8% of heavy metals, lipids, you know, so not a lot of stuff showing up here. But what I want to get into is some of the nutrients. So here's the macronutrient. We talked about protein being a possibility, right, with some of the markers we found. Low, you know, not a lot of vitamin, mineral, or carbohydrate imbalance stuff, but then they go into the details, right? So there's the protein. We talked about that. And then the specific nutrient imbalances. So DHEA was low, right? And we're going to look at your Dutch test to determine an action plan for that. Zinc, based on the alkaline phosphatase, and we already talked about getting you on a liquid zinc for that. B B12 and folate. We already talked about that, but we're going to hold off on what exactly I want you to do about that till we review it in the big picture of everything else when we look at that on Wednesday. And then some of these others, you know, there's some minor indications of these, but I don't think these are huge in that you need to go supplement with these. This is more, well, you know, let's just look at good balanced diet and checking your chronometer to make sure you're getting enough of these nutrients. Now, some of you are going to see different results here. You're going to see a lot of the others, right? And it tells you why it thinks these things are a problem. So it's really just these three, DHEA, zinc, and B12 folate for nutrients. And then the analytics is what we just looked at. And there you have it. We just went through all that. So it's a long report, but it's there's a lot of, you know, formatting things in different ways to make it clear to you. And what I really like that my little spreadsheet doesn't do is this, you know, this overall analysis. Generally speaking, though, we hit them all, right? Even though I didn't run, you know, I looked at your thing and didn't look at this first, we picked up most of it. But sometimes I pick up, oh, wow, that's a good one. You know, that didn't show up by me cursorily looking at the picture. And this is a great way to do it. Okay, so we're going to, this is what our focus is going to be over the next few months is to get these things. Really, it's the GI and the immune system to help with the thyroid, because I don't think it's a primary thyroid problem. It's an immune thyroid problem. Okay? Mm-hmm. How, any questions?
Nothing that I can't ask you on Wednesday. I do have questions, but I think I'll wait.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and we'll get the big picture then. All right.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else have questions based on any general questions, not based on Marcia's health? That's her business, but based on the reports, based on how to read your own before I go into Gail's not going to be here. And you know, so Diana, you're going to be next.
I actually just want to ask one thing about the low DHEA because I've had breast cancer, estrogen dominant. So I just want, you know that. I just want to make sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And know that, yeah.
Yes, and we want, you got to be really careful. That's why we're going to look at your Dutch test to see, you know, I hormone replacement is not something that I would recommend for you, but okay. What else can we do to get your, so I'm going to look at your ratios. So the Dutch test, for those of you who've done them or are doing them, the Dutch test shows us the metabolites of estrogen, all three estrogens and all the metabolites, the safer metabolites and the not so safe. And we want to do whatever we can from a nutritional, herbal, you know, diet lifestyle standpoint to push in the direction of those safe metabolites. So when the liver breaks down your estrogen, it can break it into 2-hydroxy, 16-hydroxy, 4-hydroxy, and some of them are carcinogenic. And some of the reasons that the body will tend to go down one pathway versus the other have to do with some genetics, but also it has to do with your microbiome, has to do with your liver function, has to do with the nutrients that support methylation and other liver detox. So even those of you, you know, had breast cancer, no, we're not going to say, oh, look, it shows your estrogen's low. We're going to give you, no, that's my last resort. It's not for people who've had breast cancer. And I'm always really careful, even with men, for the men who are listening, I don't think any men signed up for this one, that if your testosterone shows low, I may not think that testosterone is a good idea because your body may be converting it to estrogen. Mm-hmm. And in women, same thing. There's a particular enzyme that gets elevated called aromatase, and it will convert testosterone into estrogen. So before I would give anybody any hormone, I want to make sure that the pathways are working, that they're not going to go down a dangerous path. Does that make sense? Right? And had this kind of analysis been done, you know, decades ago, before breast cancer, maybe have had a different outcome. So the same thing, if you've never had breast cancer, great. Let's look at that Dutch, if we can, and optimize it and optimize your diet lifestyle so you don't go down that path. So once you've gone down that path, you've got different decisions that you need to be making.
So because I'm taking estriol suppositories. I just wanted you to know that.
Estriol is the safe estrogen. No right. Worries on estriol suppositories. Yes.
Okay.
And thank were you taking them when that test was done?
No.
Okay. It was as a result of the test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And the result of the dryness and the pain and all that.
Exactly. Kind of thing. And the estriol suppositories can make a huge difference.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Phew. All right. We ready for Diana and then we'll take a break? Yes.
I'm going to run to the bathroom, but I will be right back.
Okay.
I've been holding it in for an hour.
Oh, no.
But you can start.
None of that. We'll start with Diana. And let's see. Here we go here. Okay. Let me stop.
There we are.
Yeah. I'm going to stop the recording.
Oh, wait a minute. Am I, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh,